Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, do you know any shamans? Just happen to know any shamans? What's a shaman? Maybe a lot of people say they're shamans. Maybe there are some really authentic shamans, and maybe there are some would-be shamans. And let's find out more about that by talking with a man who really has studied shamanism, practices shamanism in the most deep ways, and has written a book called Shamanic Healing, Traditional Medicine for the Modern World. And he's even a New Yorker. And his name is Itzhak Beery. Itzhak, welcome to Energy Stew.
Oh, I'm so happy to be with you, Peter.
It's such an important book, Shamanic Healing, because it really understands the true nature, let's call it the true nature of healing. Because not that there's not a lot of other healing going on in the world in many other ways, but this is perhaps the oldest way, right?
Well, yes. What I try to do in this book is to spill the beans, or to say, to really talk about the ancient wisdom of healing as I know it from the Amazon and from the Andes of Ecuador and Brazil, which is where my teachers were. And I try to not just talk about the philosophy and the worry about, but also to give people the tools to do that at home, and to kind of like demystify the whole notion that it's a voodoo, or is it a woo-woo, or is it only special people can do it. So it's really a way for people to understand where it's come from and how to use it. And I also included 30 real stories of healing, and I chose them quite carefully in a way that people can understand the technique that I use in each of the stories, so they can actually use it in their life for themselves or for their family or their clients.
Okay, but let's get down to the bottom of it, because you said, you know, it's not about mystery, but it really is mysterious to our left brains, because it's so much of a right brain method where you use tools to tap into your intuitive awarenesses, and then you work with natural elements that have mysterious abilities because of our own presence with them and use of them. And nature is always mysterious in its magical ways that shamanism taps into and uses. You know, I'm thinking, for instance, of a woman you talk about down in the Amazon, who was a known healer, shamanistic healer, and she worked alone in the jungle.
Yeah.
And you came across her, your teacher came across her and said, "Well, what's up? How do you work?" And she said, "Let me show you." And she just grabbed a stick out of the wood. She grabbed a stick and said, "All right, now I've got my magic tool." And it was just any old twig in the jungle. So it's really what we make of it. And I'm fascinated with the tools that you use, that you talk about in the book, and how interesting it is, you know, the whole idea about how eggs work, for instance, or how candles work.
Yes.
Is fascinating.
Well, what I think that is so important for us to understand, that what we call mystery is a scientific fact for indigenous people. Because indigenous people see the world in a much larger scientific way that we do. We call it mystery because we don't understand what they do. But let's take that woman shaman in the Amazon who all the tool that she used was really a little stick of a tree. And you know what she actually did, she knows the body proportions, and she, by measuring the proportions of the person's body or the imbalance of the body, she can tell what kind of inflictions or illnesses the person has, not just a physical but also emotional, because they understand that there is a relationship or correlation between the imbalance, the emotional, spiritual, and physical imbalance with the way our body develop. So for us, it looks really, really strange. Or it looks very strange that when you're rolling an egg on a person's body, the person feels better. Or you can diagnose a person's condition through a candle reading. But if I can teach you how to read it, you can see that it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, luckily we are now in a place where science is trying to prove a lot of those teachings, so indigenous teachings, and we call it quantum physics or quantum mechanics. But they all understand that the physical world is illusion. It's all about energy, and energy influence the physical manifestation and the spiritual emotional manifestation. So everything is connected. Our scientific, what we call scientific, is trying to isolate the mystical or what the mystery or the work of the unseen world from the seen world. In indigenous world, it's not. It's all connected. It's all one thing and one way of healing is to bring all of those into flow and into balance and into health again.
Well, the Western world is trying to minimize and box knowledge in ways that it can patent it and do all the, you know, merchandise it. But the natural world is vast, and it can't be boxed. So there are tools everywhere. Everything is a tool. And the more focused indigenous populations are in the world around them, the more they see in it. They understand the flow. They understand the different energies at play and how to make use of them. It's not about trying to minimize and box it as a Western mind would want to do. It's about just taking advantage of the flow that we're in, the natural flow, and sensing. Once you, I think this is what happens as you go through initiations as a human, is that you develop sensitivities and awarenesses of the flow and of imbalances, and you start to really know what's going on much more acutely.
Yeah. Yes, and I think that one of the things that you were saying, taking advantage of, you have to understand that in the indigenous world, or in the world that we all, the human experience from, let's say, 1500 years and below, right? Or even less. I mean, the science, or what we call science today, developed, you know, maybe 400 or 500 years ago. So the work with the seen and the unseen world, the energies of those. It is taking advantage of all those for our own survival. And humans throughout history use plants and minerals and water and other elements in their environment, and they recognize the importance of the spirit world, the world of the unseen, or we call energies of the ancestors, energy of spirit who passed away, energies of teachers and other animals. So they recognize that the world is not flat, is not just a science world where what science is trying to tell us today. It is a lot more encompassing phenomena and what we call mystery, and they use that to their advantage to heal other people. And there is no room for shamanism without healing, because that's the whole purpose of the work of shamanism, is to heal other people, to bring people and the environment and the communities and the world into balance and flow.
And we can actually see that growing in such a large way. It's the right time for your book to come out. I mean, this is a time where people are looking for much more natural solutions in nature and foods and in lifestyle, and realizing that, you know, we went the wrong way. And I think the whole world of medicine now is facing a huge block that they are aware of. They understand that you can't just keep going down the road applying superficial treatments to things that aren't holistic, aren't incorporating all of nature and all of ourselves in nature with nature tools that actually make us whole. And, you know, even still, of course, the medical world is trying to find out what's in each natural substance to break it down to some patentable element that they can then control and tell everybody to stay away from. But all of that is, I think, being revealed as limiting, and so many people want to know more about the essences that you're familiar with.
Sure. You know, when I work on the book, I mean, we all know that the Western medicine disappoint us, but I didn't know for how much. So I did some research, and I also asked doctors who turn into shamans themselves why they transform themselves into shamanism. And in the research that I looked at, you could see that almost 80% of doctors are disappointed from their teachings, they don't trust the pharmaceutical companies and the medication that they give to their patient. 80% of them.
They're giving them medications that have terrible side effects because they're not in balance.
They might all know that very well and create others. But the problem is that the AMA and the American Medical Association and all the institutions don't give them other educations. They don't give them health food and other possibilities. So, you know, like people say that maybe alternative healing or what they call alternative healing or shamanic healing is not safe, but you know, more than 1,000 people die in regular hospitals every day in the United States from malpractice, from preventable causes. 1,000 people every day. So you think about it, it's almost 400,000 people every year. It's way more than the crisis in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in everywhere. It's by our own hands. You know, 60% of Americans live on one pill a day.
15% live with 6 pills a day.
Well, so, people my age actually have, I think, 16 or 19 prescriptions.
That's right. And all of those are affecting our mental and our physical conditions. And there is another alternative, and the alternative is really go back to what our ancestors, or the people in the Amazon, the Andes, know so well, is to work with the natural world, to work with the physical world and with the spiritual world. Or when we call it spiritual, we call about the energy world, because it does work.
Right. And it's not really time. I don't think it's any longer time to wake people up so much as take advantage of the awakening that's happening, because people are ready. You know, we want better answers, and we want to hear from people like you, for instance, who are using natural tools and helping people in really wonderful ways. You know, I'm an intuitive healer. Now, I don't call myself a shaman because I certainly don't have that background, but I certainly have a very effective intuition. And I look for all the natural remedies I can. So I'm always very impressed to hear what shamans are doing and to learn.
Well, one of the things that most of the shamans that I work with believe in, that we are all shamans, that every human being is designed in the DNA to become a healer. For himself and for his family, and not necessarily that you have to have the calling to do that, or that you need to do that as a job or as your profession, but each of us can hug or can listen, can give good word for people, or can give it good advice, if open the heart and just love
in different ways. Sure,
exactly.
Well,
we are all healers.
The word shaman. Yes, let's call it. That's why I use the word healer. But, you know, to me, a shaman, we want to learn from shamans who have a lot of background in, you know, generations of background in doing this kind of work. And yet incorporate as much as we can, but what's natural for us. I have many different healing modalities, techniques that I love. And I'm always looking for more. I love tools, any kind of tool. And so when I was reading your book, I was looking at these eggs. I'm going, wow, that's cool. So I asked my higher guidance. I said, so are eggs for me? And they said, no, not for you, Peter. So, you know, it's
well,
interesting.
You should try that because
it's specialties.
You should definitely try to work with eggs because it's so simple. All you have to do is to roll it over your headache or any kind of pain in your body, and you can feel how that energy is sucked into that egg. And
right.
You discard the egg. You bury the egg, and that's it. You know, I
well,
got to tell you,
that,
I hear from so many people who read the book that they use these eggs, and it really made changes to themselves
and to
their families.
I think that's wonderful. I also do believe that whatever tools we use, it's the power of our intuition that really, I mean, not intuition, intention, that
intention,
really makes it
yes.
powerful. Intention, so it's putting the intention into the egg to work for you to do that. And
mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean eggs are the only tool for that. That's why I was saying that about me. And my hands actually hold a lot of intention, and I see and I speak through my hands.
Sure.
So in a sense, the universe is saying to me, well, I do pretty good. So, you know, but I love tools. So the eggs, they're so, you know, it's an exciting tool to me.
Yeah, and there is a section there that talks about how you can remove negative energy. You can work with sea salt and cornmeal and
There are so many different ways that you can make yourself and other people healthy or healthier and relieve pain without going to your medicine cabinet or to your doctor's to take more chemicals in and put it in your body.
Right, and it's so important for us to live as holistically and authentically as we can. And so many of the foods around us aren't authentic. You know, it's really hard to find good quality, organic, and healthy food. But it's more and more. It used to be impossible unless you lived on a farm and did it yourself. But
well, in many ways, we are lucky to live in New York City, because in New York City you have a lot more variety of organic food. But if you go to other centers in the United States, just across the river, it's become very difficult to find food that is freshly grown around you and that contain all these vitamins. You know, I just came back from Ecuador, and the food there is so nutritious, so full. It's really, you really feel that it's nourished your body. It really makes you feel healthy. I don't think that here you can go to a restaurant and feel like you ate something that is truly healthy.
Right. There are some wonderful restaurants around that actually use local produce from authentic farms.
But mostly in New York City, yeah. But not so much in other parts of the country. I mean, other parts of the country, it's a really...
Well, it has to spread out more, that's for sure.
Yep.
But I think it is. I think life is growing outside of New York in good ways. There are many opportunities, and especially local farms that are getting to be known, and people can use produce and all kinds of opportunities from that. I spent last weekend at an organic farm upstate in New York.
Yes,
it was amazing. So this is, you know, it's really important to actually look at shamanism, your kind of shamanism, in many ways that you've learned about it, your teachers, what they've brought you through, the initiations. You had to actually have a sword fight with somebody, not to the death or not to cutting or anything, but it was, you know, an older guy who put you, you know, just to see if you would stand up to him.
Yeah. And, I started this journey, and maybe that would be an inspiration for people who are listening. In my midlife, in my late 30s, I started to feel really uncomfortable. I knew that there was more to the world than what I already achieved, and I had a small advertising agency, and I had an art career, and I did pretty okay for that time, and the family and children, but I knew that there is something more to life, must be something more. And I didn't know what it was. It was very much like a fog. And it lasted for a few years until I read a book by Hank Russellman about shamanism. And I said, wow, you know, there's so many questions that I asked myself that Hank was writing about. And in that book, there was a story about a workshop he took with Michael Harner, the guy who actually was responsible for the resurrection of the new shamanism in the United States, in the West. He wrote a wonderful book. It's called The Way of the Shamans. And so I took this workshop, I was so amazed by the newfound ability to see into the spirit world and to journey into other people's life and be able to be of help for them, that I was so excited about it that I took another workshop with a guy named John Perkins. And with John, I went to Ecuador, and there I met Jose Joaquin Pineda, the shaman that I became his apprentice a couple of years later. So, you know, it wasn't something that I planned to do. It was something that spirit or faith or something that guided me to do.
Right. Right. I'm also living the life that I never expected. It was really just happening, and I followed what my heart was leading me to, which was helping people in deep, intuitive ways and healing ways that I kept on looking for newer and opportunities to tap in and understand the flow better, and that's how I got where I am. So how can people, we're getting near the end of the show, your book is Shamanic Healing, Traditional Medicine for the Modern World, and your name is Itzhak Beery, and mm-hmm. Let's spell it out for people so that they can get it right.
It's Itzhak, Itzhak, Beery.
Is there a website or contact?
The website is my name, itzhakbeery.com.
Okay, that's wonderful.
And I'm in Manhattan, in New York City, and
yeah.
I teach all around the world and have trips.
Well, we should connect. I'm in Manhattan too, and I would love to talk with you in another show. We'll do another show about shamanic healing sometime in the future. Great. So, Itzhak, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew.
You're very welcome, and thank you for having me. And I wish all the people who are listening that they'll use their seen and unseen world with power to create health and happiness to all.
That sounds great. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.fm. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.